I would like to welcome everyone to our August 15th, 16th, 26th teleconference of the California Citizens for Health Freedom Wellness Electronics Investigative Committee. Today you will learn about Rife technology, its use in the treatment of degenerative diseases, and we will learn about the political battle and the legal battle to make this available to the public. And you'll also learn about what you can do in this extraordinary undertaking that we are now engaged in to make this available to the public and how you can make an extraordinary difference in this cause. I would like to introduce Barry Lines, who is author of The Rife Report, The Cancer Cure That Worked. Barry Lines?
Hello. I have been asked to give a brief summary of Dr. Rife's accomplishments, and I will avoid all of the various details that flag this down and just do the germane information. Dr. Royal R. Rife's scientific genius have been proved by a 1934 cancer clinical trial managed by five of America's most prominent physicians. The clinical trial was sponsored by the University of Southern California. 16 cancer patients, all diagnosed as terminal, were pronounced clinically cured after 3 months of treatment using Dr. Rife's original energy medicine setup. This was the first cancer clinical trial in the history of America that produced a success rate of 100%, and it was particularly, remarkable because all of the 16 patients were already diagnosed as terminal, no possibility of any reversals at all. In the following years, after 1934, the energy medicine instrument that was used at the clinical trial was improved and made smaller, more efficient. And then they created in 1938 a manufacturing company called Beamray, and a number of the new Rife instruments were licensed to various physicians in both San Diego and Los Angeles. And then tragedy struck, and it struck in a very strange form. An 82-year-old man from Chicago, Illinois, who had a monstrous facial cancer, was treated by one of the doctors in San Diego with a Rife machine and was completely cured. It was reported that he returned to Chicago with skin like a newborn baby. The American Medical Association, or the AMA, which is headquartered in Chicago, discovered what had happened. They quickly paid a big bribe to a Southern California engineer who owned a small stock percentage in Beamray. A top lawyer was also sent to San Diego by the AMA. Together, the engineer and the lawyer from within the company secretly sabotaged Beamray. They then initiated a phony lawsuit to steal the company and all its scientific assets and Rife's remarkable technology. The court trial lasted from June 1939 through most of August 1939. The AMA lost the case. Its evidence was fabricated, and they lost it badly. But they, in the process of the court case, they bankrupted Beamray. Within weeks of the court case ending, unfortunately, Nazi Germany invaded Poland, and World War II erupted for the next 6 years until 1945. That resulted in after the war, a whole new generation taking medicine into an entirely different direction, which was chemical and drug medicine. Reif unfortunately died a broken and beaten man, knowing he had cured cancer, tuberculosis, cataracts, and several other disease conditions, and that he, his marvelous discoveries, which were one kind of a century, were stomped into oblivion by the American Medical Association. And that was the end of Reif until 1987, when my book was published through a Canadian publisher, and the Reif revival that is now gaining strength throughout the world took off, literally, mainly in the 90s, in the 1990s decade. Now in the 21st century, of course, it just continues to grow. I was informed, this is my closing remark, I was informed recently that the U.S. attorney in San Diego, who is in charge of case against people who make Reif instruments, made the statement that she was not interested in taking away anything from people that is helping them, end of quote. If that is her true position, then FDA cannot win this case, because the existing historic and scientific documents would not permit them to win, even if they won the initial rounds on appeal, given that they have failed to perform what the law requires them to do, which is hold an expert committee investigation of technology that the public has become interested in and that existed in a successful mode prior to 1976. So I think the FDA position is horrendously weak or flabby, but that is the main point of the Reif saga. The 1934 clinic, the creation of Beamray Corporation in 1938, the man with a horrible facial cancer that went to Chicago, the AMA found out what happened in San Diego and sent a team of lawyers and other people in to steal it, and they lost the case.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Barry. I also want to mention that not only is Barry the author of The Cancer Cure That Worked, 50 Years of Suppression, the Reif Report, he's also author of another book that is more easily available called The Cancer Conspiracy, and one of the chapters is on Reif, and there are other alternative approaches to treating cancer that are mentioned in that book as well, and that is fairly available. As Barry said, there has been a revival largely due to the publication of his book in Reif technology, whole variations on Reif technology of manufacturers that are out there, many on the small scale, making equipment that people can use to treat themselves or others with Reif technology. Jim Folsom is a user and distributor of some of the one particular version of that equipment, and Jim Folsom was rated recently by the FDA for trying to help people with it, and he's going to tell a little bit about his story of what he experienced. Okay, Jim Folsom, do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience as someone who's been under attack by the FDA?
Okay, this was April 2nd of this year, 2003. It began 9 a.m. in the morning, a knock on the door, and the door was opened. The seven of the agents of the federal government stormed in, led by the FDA agent and the postal inspector, and they came in, secured everything, set my wife and I and one other person in the living room after they'd searched the sofa area, that area, for weapons or whatever they were looking for. Then various agents started downloading computers, confiscating confiscating, seizing anything, putting in boxes, records, documents, instruments. What they found here, we were servicing instruments that were here for repair, take care of people. They took them. One of my questions was, were they legal for me to own and operate the instruments that I had here? Their answer, yes. Was it legal for anyone else to use and operate, own and operate? They said, we know where you're going, we're not going there. They proceeded into the bedroom. They brought in a locksmith to open the safe. They boxed up the instrument that was on in the bedroom area, using, and also one in the living room area. I said, since it's legal for me to use, own, and operate, why are you taking them? Response, we're taking them anyway. They began their interrogation, and I said, well, this is no random right. I said, you haven't charged me with anything. How can I respond to anything? They said, go ahead and tell us everything you know. Obviously, they were in a searching expedition, which is, I understand, very illegal. And the interrogation, they were saying, this will go easy on you before a judge. And I said to them, my response, if this were in writing, you know just as well or even better than I do that it would have absolutely no value to it. And they continued, this was the FDA agent and the postal inspector. They were doing the good guy, bad guy routine. One of them come on soft, the other one a little hard, and said, start talking, otherwise you could lose your house. You could cost you substantially in legal fees. They were saying your wife is the manager. She could be in severe trouble. I said, what are you talking about? She's managing nothing. She has her own business. And they backed off there a little bit. And they continued, hammered away. I said, again, what can I respond to? And then I said, everything is on FBI records. They know exactly what's going on. They've had a prior report from when they were in my home a few years ago on similar manner, similar item. And there was a silence from them. It was like they were caught, not being aware, covering their background. And then they started to hammer away on me of something to do with lying to a federal agent, federal officer. And my response was, I did not lie to you. Don't intend to now, presently, or in the future. And this is the FDA agent after the good guy, bad guy routine, because the postal inspector had jumped on me on potential lying on the results. So I just looked at him and actually pointed at him before throwing him out of the house. But I just looked at him, pointed at him, and I said, don't even go there. This is not acceptable. And at this point, they backed off and went about their business, boxing things up and putting an inventory together. They hit the home of an associate of mine, went into his garage, and after the fact, realized that was not on the subpoena. And they hit a storage facility. There were instruments there that were scheduled for South Africa in the name of Global Wellness. Those were not even on the subpoena. And also the subpoena and search warrant were under a gag order. Basically, it was a little deceptive. They said, request that you tell no one. And that is somewhat of a background. They took books, anything relating to Wright, frequencies, Barry Lyons books. There was about 40 of them, Dense Degree That Works, 40 of her book, Cancer Conspiracy, relating to the FDA.
And they took your videos too, I think, didn't they?
All videos, anything John Crane videos, etc. Borderlands Sciences reports. They made a complete sweep. I had corporate documents for Wright Research and Development Foundation. We put in together to bring funding in for research work, etc. And they took all of that. So that's a brief rundown, and Jim Turner gave an overview of what is happening, what is picking up from there. It was 2 days later that they hit the energy wellness people.
Is Jackie Bovee still with us? Jackie, are you there? If you might have to press 6 on your phone to talk.
She probably came in.
May have dropped off. Jackie Bovee is a wonderful nurse up here in Northern California. Who was selling some life equipment and a really excellent instrument. She was raided in her nightgown, I think it was, and they just came in there with, it was awful the way the police raided her. She was raided over, I think it was December of 2001, and to date, they brought no charges against her. There's been no indictments, but you know, they took at least $30,000 worth of her equipment, and of course they haven't given any of it back.
Can you hear me, George?
Yes, Jackie. Do you want to tell a little bit more about your experience?
Okay, I guess I can push the mute button.
I need you to speak up to the phone.
I discovered the machine. I've been an RN, a nurse, for 37 years. I discovered it after being very, very sick myself and lying in bed for 2 years. Got well on the machine. After using it on myself, family, friends, saw the wonderful results and decided to try to do this full time. I did not always charge people. I did a lot of free sessions, so I did a lot of trades for those that could not afford it. Anyway, I saw wonderful results. I continued doing this for about 9 years, and then I was raided. When I was raided, they did not let me see what they boxed up. They took approximately 30 boxes from my home. I just worked out of my townhouse, so they were upstairs. They did take Barry Lyons' books and all my records for 9 years. They even took my computer, my CPU unit, because I guess there was too much to copy. And all I had in there was addresses and my sales dates. Because of warranties. Since that time, I went into debt about $55,000 after the raid, and a client paid for an attorney here to represent me, a criminal attorney. It's been a year and a half now, and she feels it's going to trial, that they are trying to indict. And it's coming soon, this month or next month, I believe. And by the way, they did take my own personal machine, even though it's used for my own health. They did take it, so I was not allowed to see what was in any of the boxes. I had approximately 10 machines and extra equipment and parts. And the only thing that was returned was the CPU unit that was completely destroyed. I had it repaired once for over $1,000, and it just didn't work after that.
Thank you, Jackie. I want to stress that these are people that are helping to heal people, and they're in danger of going to jail for doing so. This is an atrocity. It's an atrocity since, as Barry said, this technology was developed in the 30s and it's been suppressed. How many thousands or millions of people have died of a degenerative disease that might have been saved by this or helped? How many people have been financially ruined in going through conventional medical care to try and treat these diseases. Who do you know in your family who may have suffered unnecessarily because of the suppression of this technology and the information about it that's occurred? We have an opportunity here to work together to bring this to an end. And I hope you'll get involved and help us. We're going to move to Jim Turner. And Jim, if you could tell us a little bit about Jim Folsom's experience, what happened to him, and then a little bit about the legal battle for that we're currently engaged with, the need for public awareness and support of. Jim Turner is chair, if I understand this correctly, of Citizens for Health, a national organization in existence, I believe, since 1994. Is that correct, or is it 93?
That's correct, 94.
It has worked on both political on political issues on the national scale to provide for greater access to the community and protection of alternative health treatment modalities and supplements. Jim Turner.
Yeah, that is correct. I am an attorney in Washington, D.C., and I wrote the book, The Chemical Feast, the NADA Report on the Food and Drug Administration, and I am the chairman of the board of Citizens for Health, which has been involved in a number of issues over the past 10 years, and we have a sort of a contract relationship with the California Citizens for Health Freedom. In this particular instance, I am the attorney representing Energy Wellness, which Jim Folsom is a part of, and we are involved in what we are calling with a number of other attorneys, Ground Zero in the alternative medicine debate because a number of people, both of Rife Technology activities and others, are being targeted by FDA, FCC, the Post Office Department, and a number of state attorneys general to close down their activities as a part of Operation Cure-All. This is an operation which we know best in the past as the Quackbusters, Stephen Barrett and his cohorts from the National Council Against Health Fraud, who have harassed medicine practitioners of all kinds, acupuncturists, homeopaths, and then the people that I just mentioned, among others. Our situation is that there has been no, just to give you how draconian the law is, there have been no charges filed against the Rife folks, against the Energy Wellness, or if for that matter, any of the other people that I identified. There is a grand jury that has been impaneled in San Diego, which is conducting supposedly an investigation. They're supposedly gathering information to determine whether or not there has been a violation of law. In this situation, we have a case. The United States Attorney has sent agents to various places to machines. For the most part, Rife Technology, though this is going on with other types of practitioners as well. They seized hundreds of Rife machines, and they have threatened individuals that they will, if they are caught selling the machines, they will have all of their property seized, including their homes and so forth, and they have had quite an intimidating effect. None of this is, strictly speaking, what has been intended by the Food and Drug Law or the laws controlling health and medicine, but there are some colorable arguments that the United States attorneys can use in conjunction with the laws of fraud and the conspiracy, which have been brought into the case, the argument being that making unsubstantiated health claims and sending them through the mail constitutes fraud, and that working with others to advance unsubstantiated health claims consists of conspiracy. So give a sort of a flavor of what the course of action is. Our defense consists now, first round of defense consists of working to cut off any indictment. I was in the meeting with the United States attorney that that Barry Lyons just mentioned concerning her statements, one of which was, I don't wish to take anything away from people that actually works. That was one of three statements that I consider to be opening. A second was that she was interested in knowing whether or not there was scientific support for the Rife technology. And then finally, the issue is whether or not these particular machines actually are doing something. Her position at the outset of the meeting was that they were totally fraudulent. They were a bunch of meaningless liars put inside an empty box, and then false claims were made trading on people's vulnerability and gullibility. This particular approach was just quite actually surprised to discover that we were there to defend the machine. She had not had anyone come in to defend a machine like this before, and our argument was that we do in fact have science. These boxes are in fact real. They can be demonstrated to do stuff, and we do have hundreds of people that will stand by the notion that they got terrific benefits from using them. This particular set of arguments is what we are now working to develop and present in a meeting that we are planning to have with the United States Attorney prior to a presentation to the grand jury seeking an indictment. Our goal here is to seek an action by the United States Attorney which says there are experts, there is science, there is information that says this stuff is real. There are people who do use it, and they use it from a configuration in the energy wellness technology that does in fact work and does in fact do what's claimed for it, and they do in fact demonstrate through their own physicians and their own personal experience that the box in fact does in fact help them with their particular concerns. I should add that I've been working with Energy Wellness, and we've been working together for a couple of years now, and have been relatively careful not to make health claims. All of this needs a lot of support financially and a lot of volunteers to gather information. We have gotten some openings to both the NIH and the military with some new arguments. Toward the military, there are arguments that various configurations of the right technology can be effective in one form or another terrorist defense. And then in addition to that, we have some interest at NIH on some of the various kinds of health effects that they are seeing from other types of energy medicine. We would like to create, and we are working to create, meetings with officials in these areas, because it's my belief that if we were to add into our United States Attorney's presentation the notion that either NIH or some aspect of the military was seriously investigating this technology as a possible usefulness in their areas, that would be a strong argument to the United States Attorney that her arguments on fraud and conspiracy and false claims were not going to be supported if she went to trial. And we have two scientific teams, one at Penn State University and one at the University of Arizona, that are working with specific energy wellness instruments and conducting tests to demonstrate that that particular instrument is in fact congruent with the overall Rice theories and does in fact do what's claimed for it. All of that's our approach. We are hopeful that it will in fact cut off an indictment. We're not saying that that is going to happen, but all the work that we're talking about doing before an indictment is work that will be totally useful and transferable to a situation where there is, in fact, a trial. And we are going to go to trial if necessary, and we will fight the battle. We'll be calling on people both to appear as, people to appear as both expert witnesses and lay witnesses, and we do also need people to provide support. We've written a budget, which is basically, we have 2,000 people putting $50 a month on a credit card. We'd have enough to run this battle from now until the end of time. So that's 2,000 people with $50 a month. We've got a handful already, and we'd like to have more. And I think that George will tell you how to get on the webpage and find out how to sign up as a contributor. And toward the end of this call, I'll be happy to take any questions on the legal action.
I would also like to add, I don't think we'll need to fight this battle to the end of time. Anything you can do to help us out financially now could save us an enormous amount of money down the road. If we can present, if we empower our attorney team to represent the industry and effectively argue before the prosecutors now, this case in September, to the point where there'll be, there's so much evidence in support of RIFE technology being effective and helping people. They won't want to press any indictments. They won't want to go to court, and this will save everyone an enormous amount of trouble and money, and we can concentrate on other things, such as the passage of a federal bill that will forever, hopefully, keep the FDA out of inappropriate regulation or trying to over-regulate this industry. Jim Turner, did you want to speak a little bit to the federal bill?
I only want to say that we are in the process of developing federal legislation. Frank can talk a little bit about that. The basic goal there is to change the Food and Drug Act so that evidence of efficacy does not have to meet the same standard as evidence of safety. That would mean that evidence of efficacy would mean merely that there was a scintilla or more of evidence that suggested that this, whatever it is, in this case the right technology, might in fact be effective. Then all claims that would be made would be held to their own internal accuracy. So to say there are studies that suggest that right technology can cure cancer, and there were such studies, that would be adequate to allow it to be sold. The current situation is you can't make such a claim unless you have a very, very high level of tests showing demonstrably in laboratories that, in fact, it does cure cancer.
How much money does it take to somebody have to cough up?
Well, when the drug companies do it, they claim it's between $100 and $200 million for one entity, and that may be high for what we're talking about, but still we're talking tens of millions of dollars, which is not going to happen in this field.
Because if a drug is patentable, you can charge whatever you want for it once you've done those studies and recoup your money. But for something like this, which is no longer patentable, there's no company that can spend $20 million on the research and recoup their money, right?
Yeah, and it's very unlikely that $20 million would do it in accordance with the standards that the FDA currently has.
So
at least 50, maybe more. With the FDA standards. Now, I want to make a point that in the current world where biological terrorism is a real threat, the military is taking a much more benign interest in these technologies and very well might be willing to undertake some studies and be willing to use things which are only possibly effective by the standards of the FDA. So that's part of what we're trying to pursue. Because once we get some kind of a result that's comparable in the military, that's comparable to what I just described, we have all kinds of defense for using it in public.
Thank you, Jim. Frank Cooney is chair of, he's the executive director of California Citizens for Health Freedom. He's been an activist for many, many decades, and, several decades, I won't say many decades, and he has worked extensively on through California Citizens for Health Freedom on statewide issues as well as national issues. Frank, would you like to tell a little bit more about California Citizens for Health Freedom and the political aspects of this and how people can contribute to help us in this battle to make RIFE technology better available to the public?
Thank you, George. I might also indicate from the start to thank George Gaborgi, who is president of the San Francisco Tester Society and has been a long-time activist in the Citizens for Health Freedom movement. He didn't introduce himself. So if you want to know more about George, go into the San Francisco Tester Society.
That's www.sftesla.org. Thank you for pointing that out. Frank, we will need you to speak right up into the telephone.
Okay. California Citizens for Health Freedom is a nonprofit organization that works on the legislative issues and the advocacy to actually give leadership to what's called the health medical freedom movement. Movements occur when the citizens of a given area wish to have changes in the major policies that go on within the government structure, the legislative structure, such as the civil rights movement we went through, or the women's right to vote movement, the right of children, disabled children to have access to equal education. These are all movements that change policies and the directions that a country is going. In the United States today, we have the Health Medical Freedom Movement to extend the freedom of citizens to have access to natural products, natural treatment, the right of physicians to provide treatment modalities, and the movement the International Pharmaceutical Companies, by organized medicine. You could imagine what it would do if the Rice machines were accepted for the treatment of cancer, but what that would do to the cancer wards at the hospitals if that shift occurred. That would be the loss of billions of dollars to physicians, to the hospitals, and it would be major changes in what's going on. So this is not an easy struggle in the whole sense. It's not going to be an inexpensive struggle. It's going to be an ongoing one, and it calls for citizens then who wish to protect the public rights, their rights, their children's rights, their grandchildren's rights, the future of the country. Is it either going to be a free country that has freedom of choice for citizens and freedom of choice for physicians and for health practitioners to offer safe and effective treatment modalities, or is it going to be one that is run and restricted by the international companies that go on? And this is essentially the issue that's going on, and the Rife technology and the electric wellness process is just one phase of that, but it's an extremely important phase, because if we can win this initial struggle in this, it'll help move all the other phases also. But if we lose this struggle in this process, it'll affect all the rest too. So we do have this at the state level, where legislature is going on. Various states, including California, alternative treatment of cancer is illegal, or it's legal in other states. We have on the national level with the FDA trying to block this process on the alternative treatment and use of the machines that you're on. We have it on the international level with the codex coming down. So your citizen participation is extremely important. Anybody who wishes to look at our website, citizenshealth.org, www.citizenshealth.org, acquaint yourself with it. If you wish to make a donation, $10 a month, make a pledge, what have you, there's a process to do that, but indicate it's for the wellness to it, so we can put it towards the wellness electronic process, so we can put it towards that legal process onto us. And we have it for the midwives, we have it for other causes, and I think our time is up, George.
Thank you, Frank. How can people send a contribution, rather than going to citizen, if they would like to make a credit card contribution, or they would like to send a check in the mail to you, what address?
They can do either. It's all on our website, www.citizenshealth.org. It has, if you wish to support, be a contributor, do that, but indicate which part you're doing. Otherwise, we do have some contributing for the right of physicians to practice alternative treatment in California. You have the right for midwives, and this here is another one. So if you're going to do that, put it towards the Rife Defense Fund, and we'll know which category to place it in and put that towards the legal cost.
Right, so you can put Rife Defense Fund in the memo field of your check, or Wellness Electronics in the memo field of your check. If you write that in, then he'll know how to contribute the money. Or you can use your credit card that way, too. Okay, at this point, we are now at just about 1 o'clock. We've got a couple of minutes here before we open it up for questions. I want to say that I think personally, this is one of those things, if you get involved in this movement and you're supportive of it, it's one of those things you're going to look back on in life and say, I'm really glad I was a part of that, because I was part of something that helped save lives, helped save an enormous amount of unnecessary suffering. So it's one of those things you're going to look back and be very proud of, and I hope you all do what you can do.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Who is this?
All right, this is John Crook, C-R-O-O-K.
Okay.
I'm in North Carolina.
John Crook, thank you. Are you a Rife user or a distributor?
I am not. I'm an interested party on behalf of another individual.
Excellent.
If Jim Turner's on the line, he'll know who I am.
Okay.
Yes, hi, John.
Hi, Jim.
John, what's your impression of all this?
You're addressing John?
Yeah,
you're
John. Yes.
Well, it's a tragedy, a true tragedy. And it's a case of industry not working together for the mutual defense. And I was curious about how you established your distribution is, because I got this through a third party and learned of it that way. But it just seems that, as Jim Turner knows, we've had many conversations about the industry all under attack, needing to work together and cooperate together, not just breaking up into little units.
that's where groups such as Citizens for Health and California Citizens for Health Freedom and a few others come to play in trying to work all of these things in with some sort of coordination.
There's a health freedom group here in North Carolina. They got together too late to do anything this legislative year, but they're working now to try to get some legislation patterned on that you have in California and also the Minnesota model.
I do think it's important that we have a network of strong state organizations to supplement groups like Citizens for Health that work on specifically on the state issues and then cooperate together to work on the national issues.
I think Frank put his finger on it when he said this is a social movement like the civil rights movement. This is a health rights movement, and we ought to be organizing along the same kind of lines. Right now, we're being the health alternatives, health rights, health choice movement is being attacked the way that individual minority members were being attacked by the law back in the 20s and 30s. And we've got to mount an organized, systematic campaign. Again, as if they reinforced that people spending $50 a month could make a huge difference.
And again, you should go to the Turner Swank and Turner website or to citizenshealth.org to make that contribution or to find out additional information on how to do it if you don't want to do it through PayPal or how to send a check in and so forth. I want to thank everyone for participating in this conference. Frank, do you have any final thoughts?
Any money that comes into Citizens for Health is for the right defense, automatically goes to the defense fund.
Are you talking about Citizens for Health or California Citizens for Health Freedom?
Citizens for Health Freedom. Money that is sent to our donation center is indicated to the right defense. It goes into the legal defense fund. Directly goes to Jim's office.
Thank you, Frank. Jim Turner, any final thoughts?
No, I think that's it. This is like a medical holocaust, and it's got to be stopped.
And we can do it together. Barry Lyons, if you're still with us, any final thoughts?
No. I encourage all of you to keep doing what you're doing, and I'll do my own effort.
Jim Folsom, any final thoughts? Okay. Thank you, everyone, and we hope you will participate in this great cause that we have before us.